It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters when we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Good morning, everybody. Happy to be here. Check out the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show within the show. Available, brand new episode released yesterday for this week. That's available on the normal DA Show podcast feed, or also available on its own podcast feed. Search either the DA Show or Permission Granted on your favorite podcast platform. Coming up in 20 minutes, Charles Oakley has an interesting idea on how to honor him. He says the Knicks have approached him about a retirement of his jersey, and he's not interested. He's got a better idea. You'll love this coming up in 20 minutes. Also, we have your poll question this morning, so check it out at CBS Sports Radio. Again, at CBS Sports Radio. Nike has released its first edition of the City Collection. New jerseys, bold colors, abstract concepts. First, for the Boston Red Sox. As an homage to the Boston Marathon's yellow bibs, the Red Sox will be wearing yellow uniforms. It'll say in light blue, Boston across the front, although not in Red Sox font. They will be wearing light blue hats with the yellow, light blue Boston B, which happens to look exactly like UCLA Bruins baseball hat. So nice job, Nike, simply lifting an idea off of a college baseball team. Do you find these new jerseys awesome? Grabbing the youth. Modern look. Crazy concepts. Or embarrassing. Vote for it right now at CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers, Jeopardy. We're now two episodes in. Rodgers auditioning for these 2 weeks. Already taped the episodes. Trying to fill in for the late Alex Trebek. Aaron Rodgers is now on a media tour. Convincing everybody, I can do this and play football. He says he worked 146 days last year for the Packers. That leaves him a ton of time elsewhere in the offseason. He says that Jeopardy only tapes over the course of maybe 50 days in a year, which must be nice. Let's just say you're making $5 million a year. Imagine making $5 million a year for working about 50 days. Not bad work if you can get it. So Aaron Rodgers went on multiple media outlets yesterday to convince everybody, hey, I can do this and I can play football and it's going really well. And I love it. And I can bring a new audience to the table. I mean, all right, Aaron, we get it. Now, let me tell you this about Aaron Rodgers. I love watching him play. Love it. I absolutely love watching Aaron Rodgers play. And sure, he's been a little prickly and salty away from the field before. Yes, he has told my fine, fleshy friend to, quote, get away from me, buddy. But by and large, I've always defended Aaron Rodgers. He is one of the most brilliant tacticians ever to play the quarterback position. I've oftentimes felt as though being hindered by Mike McCarthy for all of those years really put him in a bad spot. The Packers have never been known for spending a lot of money, and Rodgers deserves more than one Super Bowl championship to his name. But he's starting to lose me here. I mean, number one, the loss last year to the Niners NFC Championship game was ugly, but okay, you could just say that they got gashed and ripped apart by the running ability of the Niners. This year, one seed. Oh, gosh. Losing NFC Championship game at home against the Buccaneers. Rodgers certainly missed some throws in that game, didn't make some plays in that game. Harder for me to defend. You're on the doorstep of a championship, and you lose to Tom Brady and the Bucs. But okay, I can again defend all of that football-wise, and I don't really care if you're a great interviewer or not. And when he does long-form interviews with NFL Network or Pat McAfee or something like that, it is largely very interesting and entertaining. He is thoughtful. He is intelligent. He does not give you a bunch of trite cliche answers like a Russell Wilson. I like that. I appreciate that. So it's hard for me to ever criticize Aaron Rodgers. But I'm here. I'm at the doorstep. I'm kicking down the door into the criticism of Aaron Rodgers. Dude needs to relax on this Jeopardy thing because it's now really unbecoming. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game. He's still active and he's begging for the Jeopardy job. And he's also making sure everybody knows, hey, I can do both. I can do both. I can definitely do both. I mean, aren't you focused on winning another Super Bowl? Isn't that what really matters here? Do you really need to worry about studying audio-video daily doubles? Is this really what you want to divide your attention span with? I mean, sure, yes, you can work 50 days a year and just host Jeopardy, and that's not going to run into your OTAs or workouts or training camp or practices or the season. That's fine. But can you really host Jeopardy and still be completely consumed with playing quarterback in the NFL? I mean, it's not like that's a throwaway gig. You are hosting Jeopardy, you know? And it's not like for a week you're taping an entire year's worth of episodes. Okay, it's only 50 days, but does that mean that you don't think about Jeopardy the rest of the year? The other 300 days of the year, you just never think about Jeopardy? And why is this so important? I mean, is it because you want to be Michael Strahan? Is it because you're already looking at the perfect way to set up your post-playing career? Or is this a way to get notoriety for being smart? Because if Aaron Rodgers wants, he can guest host Jeopardy for the rest of his life. If they give it to Ken Jennings, every single year for the rest of his life, when Ken Jennings is on vacation, he can host. Or if there's not a Ken Jennings vacation day, there's always a celebrity week that Jeopardy would allow him to host because then he would get, you know, the NFL fans to watch or what have you. There's always going to be a chance. Or if he doesn't, if he turns down this chance to host Jeopardy and it goes to somebody else, when he retires, it's not like he won't get a chance to host a different game show if he wants it. They'll create a game show for him. Packer Squares or something like that. They'll give him a game show. I promise him. I mean, they created a show for Peyton Manning to put on a streaming device. They'll give Aaron Rodgers whatever he wants. Here is Aaron Rodgers on NFL Network yesterday on Good Morning Football. And the guys and the gals, Good Morning Football, that crew, we love them all. They do a phenomenal job in the mornings. But here is Aaron Rodgers discussing this Jeopardy tryout again.
I still love playing, and I don't want to give that up. You know, there's something interesting about walking away from the game at the height. You know, and there's been many players who've done that. I mean, one of my favorite players growing up was Barry Sanders, and Barry rushed for over 1,000 yards in every one of his seasons, and then just said, "See ya." That's not what I want to do. I want to keep playing. You know, I have still have the passion and the fire in this last season. You know, just reminded me, and I think a lot of people, I can still play and still play at a really, really high level. And I feel like I can do this for a number of years moving forward. At the same time, I feel like I can host Jeopardy, and I'd love to. I think I bring something different to the show. I was the youngest guest host. And there's a different audience that maybe I could bring along with it. Hopefully the numbers show it in the next 2 weeks.
I'm glad to hear he doesn't want to retire from football. Really glad, because if he retires from football to host a game show when he's still able to be the NFL freaking MVP, that would be a crying shame. Jim Brown leaves football to go be a Hollywood actor, and the game missed probably 4 to 5 unbelievable seasons left of Jim Brown. So thank goodness Rodgers doesn't want to do that. But he's stumping for Jeopardy. He's so focused on getting this job. He's the youngest guest host. You won't believe how much I prepared. The producers were so impressed by me. I can do this on the side. I love Alex Trebek. I can bring a new audience. I'm just like, why are you so focused on this? Why? Just focus on winning a Super Bowl. Doesn't another Super Bowl totally consume you? And I think the issue is it doesn't, and maybe that's what bothers me. I'm not here to tell anybody how to live their life. Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer already. Barry Sanders walked away, and I would never criticize Barry Sanders for walking away. I wouldn't criticize Jim Brown for walking away, and I couldn't criticize Aaron Rodgers for walking away for Jeopardy. It wouldn't be fair. That's their life. At the same time, I just don't understand why you're this close to winning a Super Bowl. You've been in the NFC Championship game back-to-back years, and you're the league MVP. Why do you need to sell yourself to be a game show host? If they want to give you the job, they want to give you the job, fine. Why do you need to convince everybody, I'm going to bring a new audience, the producers are so impressed by me, I'm the youngest guy ever to do this. I mean, what is this about? What is this about? Is this an ego stroke? Is this, he wanted everybody to know that he was smart in high school and he's not just a jock? We know that. You can't listen to Aaron Rodgers and not know that he's smart. He's obviously smart. He's obviously not a dunce. Like Ben Roethlisberger, not that smart. Not that smart. Aaron Rodgers, obviously smart. Obviously. So is this that bit like, hey, I know more than football? Because again, you'll retire the age of 40, 41, 42, and then you have another 40 to 50 years on this earth, probably, maybe more. Okay, you can do whatever you want game show-wise then, but once football's gone, that's it. It's out the door. It's never to return. You're right here to win another Super Bowl. You're right there. You are this close to getting another Vince Lombardi, which puts you in a totally different conversation in Pantheon. And maybe I'm wanting something for Aaron that he doesn't necessarily want for himself. Maybe he doesn't care ultimately between 2 and 1. Maybe he wants to win, but it's not all consuming. But to me, I'm like, why distract yourself with this thing? It's just a game show. It will never give you the rise of winning a Super Bowl. It will never. It's fun now. But again, in year 5, do you care about Mandy from Oak Hills, you know, getting the audio video daily double? You won't. You will not care. It'll just become a job like every job becomes a job. It's just, and Jeopardy is a great game show. It's just Jeopardy. Like, you can't tell me Pat Sajak, if he had the chance to have won a Super Bowl, or in year 20, say, do you want to buy a vowel, would choose, do you want to buy a vowel? It's a freaking Super Bowl. I mean, it's just like, there will be these opportunities for many, many years. You know what? We should get Tiki on the show. You know what? We should get Tiki on the show, because Tiki retired probably a little prematurely to chase the Today Show job. I want to know what Tiki thinks about this. I really do. Because to me, from the side, I'm thinking, what is this all-consuming campaign for? You're Aaron Rodgers. Why are you campaigning for this job? Because, Mraz, that's the way that it feels to me. He's done multiple interviews now over multiple days this week to promote the show and to convince everybody how great he is for the show. And, like, mentioning the audience he'll bring in, that doesn't make us want to watch. Oh, well, football people will watch this, so I want to watch this. It'll make his executives, but his agent can talk to executives and producers about that behind the scenes. I don't understand why he's publicly campaigning for this slot.
I think there's something here with Aaron Rodgers and the inner workings that we really can't relate to. Imagine doing something and being the greatest everywhere you were, every stage of your life, junior high, high school, playing at Cal, playing quarterback in the NFL. He has been the greatest player at every level.
Not necessarily in high school because he was lightly recruited, okay. And that's always been a chip on his shoulder and had to go to JUCO. This has only been an NFL career, and he sat behind Brett Favre.
But I meant at his high school. Like, there was no way there was a better player than Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking about every step of the way people are patting him on the back. At his junior college, you're the greatest player here. And you go every step of the way, and you climb that mountain, and you win a Super Bowl. Then last year, the Packers go ahead and draft your eventual replacement. And they have the foresight to say, we don't think you're going to be great at this much longer. Then he loses another NFC championship game this year. And I think there's a little bit of professional mortality that Aaron Rodgers is staring in the face a little bit. And I think some guys can handle that really well and other guys can't. And I think there is a worry in the back of Aaron Rodgers' brain and maybe his ego that he wants to hold on to something and be great at something for the rest of his life. And
he's still the NFL MVP, though.
He is, but when the team drafts the quarterback to replace you, even if you go out and win that MVP, there's still the seeds in the back of your mind of how much longer am I going to be doing this, and I need to, for my own ego, make sure I am great at something the rest of my life. He probably loves Jeopardy, had whatever producers tell him how great he was, and that inflated his ego and made him feel nice inside that there will be something there for him after football.
But we know there will be.
But he doesn't know that. He doesn't know that, so he's trying to convince everybody that. It's a professional mortality thing. I don't think we are hearing the whispers and Aaron Rodgers caring that much about Jeopardy had the Packers not traded up and taken Jordan Love. I refuse to believe that.
Really?
Yes.
I think this is just about Aaron Rodgers wants to be seen as great in everything. He wants to be seen as great in football, wants to be seen as great in being smart, and wants to be seen as great as being a TV star. But I don't think he's doing this because the end of his football career is near. I think he's doing this because had this happened at any point in his career, I mean, maybe a little bit more now because he can think down the road. But there's going to be, if he wants to do Sports Jeopardy after he retires, they'll build that show for him. The Today Show will have, some show will have him do it kind of like Michael Strahan. Like, all of these guys, if they're big enough celebrities, will have a TV job the moment that they want it.
But it's not just about having the TV job or just being the celebrity.
It's this TV job?
It's about being great at something big, and Jeopardy's a big deal, and he wants to be the greatest at that.
Don't you feel like this is distracting? I mean, there's no way Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl last year if he's also worried about hosting Jeopardy. I just don't believe that. I don't believe if Tom Brady spent 50 days last year hosting a game show, he would have won a Super Bowl.
Look, I agree with that, and I think Aaron Rodgers still has the drive to win another Super Bowl, but there's got to be an element of Aaron Rodgers. How many times are you going to knock on the door for Super Bowl number two and come up short before you kind of just maybe subject yourself to understanding, as great as I want this, it may not happen. So you already have the ring, so is the extra oomph of care really there?
I mean, imagine Tom Brady was like, you know what? I'm going to spend most of my time this year developing a Facebook series. That's what I'm all in on. Facebook. I want to be a Facebook series guy. I'm going to host a Facebook series like his Tom versus Time or whatever. We'd be like, okay, it's time to just walk away then if you care that much about Facebook.
Well, clearly he does. He's trolling people on social media. He does care that much about Facebook.
Right, but he does that because it's football. Because he gets off on being great at football. Tom Brady, his ultimate screw you is I win, you lose. I'm great at football still, and you're still not as good at me. And that drives everything he does. So he's not going to, if you told Tom Brady, hey, would you, 50 days out of your year, we want you to host a game show right now. He'd be like, are you kidding me? When I retire, we can do that. For now, I'm going to be like plyometrics, working out, eating the right flaxseed, looking at film, recruiting the guys to play with. There's no way he wants to siphon off 50 days a year to freaking, you know, host a game show. There's no way. There's no way. And Kobe was a very talented, multidimensional guy. And LeBron's in the movie thing now as well. But LeBron still ultimately wants to win an NBA championship far more than he wants a star in Space Jam. Winning the NBA Finals to him is the ultimate. Like, Kobe wanted to win first and then do kids' cartoons second. It's almost like Rodgers wants to do the Jeopardy thing more than the football thing right now.
Why would you have to campaign for this job?
It does feel like that. But come September, we may not feel that way about Rodgers when we're watching him throw dimes again. We might feel like football is still that number one passion. It's all about the timing as well.
On the phones, Nate is in Pennsylvania here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Nate.
Hey, DA. Wow, I've listened to you guys for years, you and Murat, so it's awesome to finally be able to talk to you guys.
Thanks for calling, man. Thank you.
So the point I want to make is I think Mraz had a lot of good insight on it, and I think back and forth you guys are kind of hitting the point. But the issue I want to say is it's not just a game show. Jeopardy has the most prestige and is in a class of its own. And Aaron Rodgers is always trying to – he doesn't want to do some tacky game show. He wants the one that has the most behind it. And plus – Jeopardy's not just going to pick a new host every couple of years. This is it. Whoever they go with now is going to be the host probably for decades. And so he realizes that if he wants to do this the rest of his life, it's got to be now or never. And I think that's why he's so adamant about trying to be the permanent host on Jeopardy.
I think you're right, Nate. Thanks for the phone call. I think all of that is absolutely right. He sees this as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity right now, strike while the iron's hot. I just think there's a part of it that's beneath him. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame freaking quarterback, and he's convincing everybody, I deserve to be the host of a game show. And at the end of the day, it is still just the host of a game show. It is maybe the most prestigious game show, but it is still just the host of a game show. And he is, to me at least, and I'm talking about somebody that talks to a camera every single day and to a microphone, I just believe your legacy as a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback is far more significant than being the host of a game show. But you know what? Maybe because I'm a sports fan and an NFL fan and a history of the NFL fan, I'm different from most of America that cares about Alex Trebek more than they care about Aaron Rodgers. Maybe that's the case. I just think you max out your NFL career when you're this good and you're Aaron Rodgers. Whatever it is to give to that, you have to max it out. And then the moment that ends, sure, then you transition. But I just, to me, you have to be single-minded because it's so freaking hard. Like, Rodgers is going to have to battle whoever else, again, who's an elite quarterback, Russell Wilson or Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, to win a Super Bowl this year. Can you do that while also hosting Jeopardy at the same time? I just feel like Making your life simple is the way to succeed. The more stuff you have going around, the more it siphons off energy and focus. And the first year hosting Jeopardy can't just be like an easy thing you do on the side. You know, it's got to be a pretty consuming type of energy you have to give to that. But also, it's just a politic for it. You host, you do it, fine. You don't have to tell everybody how great you are at it. The audience is going to be huge. Wait till you see my name and lights. The ratings are going to be off the charts. You're going to want me on that podium. When we come back, Charles Oakley has an interesting idea of how to retire his number. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Todd. Like, have you ever seen a baby named Todd in the last 30 years, by the way? What an ugly baby that must look like. Hey, look at little Todd here. You want to hold Todd? You want to milk Todd? I mean, what are we doing here?
You want to milk Todd?
Oh, I think Todd milks.
No. No, none of that is right.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Quote, I think Todd milks. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for being with us. Listen to us streaming on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app or the newly minted Odyssey app, formerly the radio.com app. Jack tweets, who just think he wants to play football still, maybe because of his talent. You can't understand this. That's exactly right. Aaron Rodgers, I think, still can play football. He was the NFL MVP. The NFL MVP. Jake tweets, if it's something you want, then you pursue the opportunity. Jeopardy isn't hiring every day. That is true. That is true. But he still says he wants to play football. This was awesome. Charles Oakley was doing a podcast with James Posey, the Posecast. And Posey said, did you make up with the Knicks? And if so, Would you go back there if they offered you a jersey retirement? Would that make it okay if they hung your jersey from the rafters alongside your teammate Patrick Ewing? Here was Oakley.
What that man did and what happened to my mom and my family who raised me behind that, I really for my jersey to be on the outside with the flag. Just let it fly. People don't have to pay to see it. They can ride past and see it by the flag outside. And I take that to heart. You know, I'd rather for it to be on the outside than inside because I wasn't welcome inside. And what he did on the inside was, you know, I mean, retire my – they came to me and said that we want to retire your jersey and do this and do that. And I'm like, nah, I ain't going to – you can't buy me that easy. If you retire the jersey, but that's benefiting you. They ain't benefiting me. You know, if you want to, you know, put it outside with the flag and people don't have to pay to come in and see it, let them ride past and see it. Let it be a tourist spot. You know what I'm saying? So right. That's how I feel about it, man. You know, the man was wrong, man. We in court right now about the same thing. He's trying to say this and that. He lied. That's the thing about he lied too, man. It's gonna be tough for me to go back in there. I told him, you know, I ain't the one. You buy me, you better, my name might be on half 3% of owning the building or 4%. So you ain't gonna just buy me for no little, you know, little peas and rice. No, you ain't gonna get me like that.
I love Charles Oakley. James Dolan lies. You ain't going to get me for some peas and carrots, whatever he said there. He lies. If you want to retire my jersey, put it on a flagpole outside because I'm not invited inside. I'm not welcome inside. I love Oakley. And it tells you all you need to know about James Dolan. That the Knicks are trying to buy off Charles Oakley because, remember, James Dolan publicly called him an alcoholic on radio in New York. That happened. Great. Just great. You can't buy Charles Oakley. I love it. What? Retirement ceremony? Jersey retirement? Screw you. You can't buy me with a jersey retirement. I love it. And Mraz, I don't know about flying a jersey from a flagpole at Penn Station. Not sure how effective that would be. But I love the fact that Oakley's still spit in the face of James Dolan for doing what he did.
To me, there's no better quote there than talking about Dolan going after him and, quote, I ain't the one. That, to me, is the perfect line. Yeah, you picked the wrong guy to mess with.
I ain't Allen Houston. I ain't John Starks. I ain't Latrell Sprewell. I ain't the one, James.
So perfect.
That's awesome. All right, so today we are all wearing our Winthrop Eagles theme t-shirts that say, if you ain't making tacos, I don't love you no more. One of our listeners in Boise, Idaho had designed these for us and sent these to us and sent them to also Super Dave and Mike Pacheco. And we are wearing these in honor of the end of the NCAA tournament. What a run it was for us and the Drops and Super Dave and Winthrop and just a fun March Madness at NCAA tournament college basketball season. So we're all wearing our Mraz Family Picnic t-shirts here together, but with them are Ringer t-shirts. And so it's time, guys, to flex. I want to see everybody's biceps because Mraz gave us his bicep yesterday and it was lacking, I would say. But he did some curls, right, Mraz? You said you did some curls?
Oh, yeah. I had the 40-pounders, the 45-pounders. You should have seen me in the gym yesterday. Rolling right up to breast, and I was ready to go.
Okay. So, Bogus, you can start us off. Give us your best bicep.
Well, I mean, I did have ham and chocolate yesterday, D.A., Easter leftovers. So I don't know how good this is going to look. I don't think it's sunk too much to the bottom, but let me... get this on camera
maybe
for
the right way. Full screen shot here, Cap, for the...
Are you ready?
Wow, that's nothing. Oh, okay, there's a little something there. It's a little something.
You can draw a line under here if you want.
Okay, that's a medium. That's a medium bicep. All right, not bad. Not bad, and you said you've been working out as well, right, to cut some weight?
Not 45-pound bicep curls. Good for Shawnee.
All right, I'm going to go next here.
Nice.
DA's stretching it out here.
No, he can hear the crowd.
I'm doing my John Wall.
Oh.
All right.
Okay. Wow, that's a surprising camel hump you got there.
Yeah. How much of that meat weigh that you've been smoking? You carrying the smoker around? What's going on there?
Well, I like to stay healthy. I don't brag about it, but I like to stay healthy. I do my sit-ups and my push-ups, and I walk and I run, and I try to stay active. And, you know, hey, you got to be country strong up here, too. You know, it's spring cleaning season. I'm taking down trees. I'm hauling bales of hay for the cows. You know, all that type of stuff.
It's the farm work and the skiing has really helped DA here upstate.
All right, and now, Mraz, let's see what you got here. Yesterday, it was a sad sight. You had your muscle fall to the bottom, you said, of your arm. It has fallen down the stairs.
Yes, all right. Here we go. Oof. All right, I understand what's here.
Oof. Okay, Cap, can we get a full?
Feel that there. Feel it. Feel the burn.
No, thank you.
You're holding your breath.
Feel it. Feel it right there. You can't see? That's a hump. That's a hump under there. It's a hump. I have a hump. I have a bicep hump.
That's a hump under there. Oh, but now look at what's pouring down on the bottom there.
All right. I have a water wing. Look, everything basically, it's like going to the lowest point when you have like an over sewer that gets overflown. It flows towards the flap near where my armpit bends down, and I have a little bit of a septic tank of arm fat that falls down there. So the bicep hump is still there, but it doesn't mean I don't have a septic tank that you get pumped.
Yeah,
that's where you need the lipo or something, or Dr. Now.
You are definitely septic on the inside, that's for sure.
I mean, geez, it's got to go somewhere, guys. It's no secret I'm fat, right? Like, that is not some kind of state secret here. And when you're fat, it doesn't just sit in your man boobs or your stomach. There are little pockets around your body where the fat has to filtrate to. One of those happens to be your arm flap underneath your arm near your armpit. I don't know what to tell you. I'd rather have that than the knee overlap. I don't have that. So please. But it doesn't mean the bicep doesn't exist north. Look at what's up north, not south. Mraz, I got a good neighborhood and a bad neighborhood.
Mraz's physique includes the septic tank part of his arm.
Fat guys out there know what I'm talking about. You hide these things. Areas to hide it. You put it away.
But here's the thing. If you do have a septic tank at the bottom of your bicep or the bottom of your arm next to your armpit, you wear a lot of tank tops and basketball jerseys. You're not really hiding anything there.
Yeah, but again, you do reach a point in time when you have a kid and a wife where you stop caring about those things, right? Like, if I go to the beach, the pool, whatever, and, like, somebody wants to make a crack about me, okay, big deal. What does that have any effect on my life anymore?
Yeah, because I know that you were so much more diplomatic about your wardrobe choices 5 years ago. I mean, 5 years ago is one thing. Yeah. I definitely
when
made sure
did
I dressed
you care?
Up my Sunday's best when I went out to the beach.
But I was self-conscious more. I was a big shirt in the pool guy back in the day. Not anymore. Let it rip.
No, Mraz, the first year we were on the air together, you went out to Las Vegas. You wore no shirt the entire weekend. You had one chick that thought that she was kind of into you, and you called the entire Vegas strip a bunch of chubby chasers that were totally into you because you were wearing a king's crown in the pool.
But that's different. You're around people you're never going to see again the rest of your life. You know, 2010, if you go to a local beach by me, oh, I am. I got the Todd McCullough jersey on. I'm hiding, you know, little sleeves underneath.
You have never been shy. You've never, never, ever, ever been anything but ultimately proud of your body and your physique.
There were some dark, bashful times pre-DA show. You don't know Mraz like that. You don't know. You don't know. There were some dark, dark times. Remember, I was beaten with a flower sock and humiliated at one point in my life. There were some definite self-conscious moments when the body comes out.
Are you like Oakley telling me I ain't the one?
I ain't the one. I ain't the one, bro. You don't know Suffolk Community College, Sean.
And now you've recovered from that to take your shirt off willingly at the company
That's
holiday
exactly
party.
Right. Yes.
I should be writing a book. Maybe I should go on a book tour. How to Be Proud of Fat. That should be the title of my book.
What a character.
The Comeback Kid. How to Be Proud of Fat by Sean Mraz. How to go from humiliated by flower sock bullies to wearing no shirt down a slide of the company holiday party.
Build if you thought the Baylor turnaround was impressive.
Yeah.
Paul Turner to voice that.
Yeah. One of you guys can write the forward.
Mraz is the 28-3 Super Bowl of self-confidence. He celebrates March 28th. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Comeback Kid Day.
Yeah, he used to be the Falcons. Now I'm the Patriots. Yeah. Shirt off at the holiday party.
Bogues has our final update of the morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
We begin with some, on a serious front, Nike has just suspended its endorsement deal with Deshaun Watson amid all of these allegations of sexual assault and misconduct. There are currently 22 lawsuits against Watson. We heard from two of his accusers yesterday. Now we jump to the NBA. The Bucks didn't have Giannis and his sore knee again, but built a 12-point third quarter lead on the Warriors. But Golden State rallied, took the lead on Kelly Oubre's free throws with 7 seconds left, then hung on for dear life.
Ball to Middleton. It's blocked short. Connaughton, loose ball. Lopez saved it. The buzzer sounds. The game's over. What a crazy finish that was.
Tim Roy, Warriors Radio, Golden State winning 122-121 to snap a three-game skid. Steph Curry scored 41. Paul George had 36, just 11 for Dame Lillard. The Clippers roughed up the Blazers 133-116. Philly won in Boston 106-96, and the Hawks down the Pelicans 123-107. Trae Young scored 30 with 12 assists. The Dodgers have a quick five-game win streak thanks to last night's 5-1 win in Oakland. Clayton Kershaw struck out 8 over 7 after allowing 6 runs on opening day in Colorado. His manager, Dave Roberts.
Tonight, I think the story was he was getting ahead, getting a lot of swing and miss with the slider. And, you know, just to see him get through 7 innings, I think 8 strikeouts, no walks, really stellar night.
The A's, meanwhile, are 0-6, matching the worst start in team history. Jose Abreu, a grand slam as the White Sox won in Seattle 10-4, and the Red Sox outlasted the Rays 6-5-12. The Diamondbacks, a 10-8 win in 13 at Coors Field. The Reds destroyed the Pirates 14-1, and the Padres beat the Giants 3-1, but more importantly, Fernando Tatis Jr. does not need surgery for his left shoulder injury. GM A.J. Preller says Tatis might only miss 10 days on the IL. And some hockey last night. 8 different Rangers scored an 8-4 win over the Penguins. Chicago topped Dallas 4-2, and Anaheim won in San Jose 5-1 to snap the Sharks' 4-game win streak. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, your thoughts, the listeners, the D'Aliens weigh in on the new City Collection Red Sox jerseys that are powder blue and yellow, and we read tweets of the ketchup controversy from Stunned to a News, plus your epic fail. So a power-packed final segment of this episode of the DA Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
Are the new yellow and light blue Red Sox jerseys, the City Collection unveiled by Nike yesterday, awesome or embarrassing? 72% of you said embarrassing. For a cool $435, you can purchase the authentic version of that Boston jersey from the MLB shop. Yes, $435. The Red Sox switched from wearing blue jerseys to red jerseys back in 1908. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. John Sterling needs a new home run call for Jay Bruce, and we have the man to give him some advice, Dave Shepard. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And you give us the Bruce is loose? Come on, John. 82 years of the game? You give us a Bruce is loose? I mean, I could have come up with that. And that's bad. I mean, that's really mailing it in. Frankly, that's like Shep giving you your catchphrases, okay?
Oh.
You know. Mr. Sterling, you're a living legend, okay?
I would make that a better epic fail. I think it could have been a little better.
You're a living legend. I would never tell the great Hall of Fame voice John Sterling what to do. But I was just thinking, for Jay Bruce, what do you think, maybe the Bruce is loose? But I would never want to tell you what to do, but I'm just suggesting the Bruce is loose.
I'd have to think about that. I know we're on air, but I'd really have to analyze that a lot more.
It's not bad, is it? It's not bad, is it?
So Shep has become Chris Rock as well, I think.
Both. I was going to say, he sounds like a blind blues musician. That's what I hear, you're doing your Shep.
It's a good Shep, but it is a little Chris Rock blind blues magician.
If John, I'm not harder on myself, no one else has to be.
Susan, so nice to see you. A beautiful woman.
But I don't mean just any girl. I mean a very special girl.
Of course, I would hold open the door if I could hold open the door for you, Susan. But I'm just not... I just want to talk to John for the, at the moment. John, I just got back from walking the 14 German Shepherds. And I just had an idea. I would never want to tell you what to do or what to say.
Dr. J, if I'm not harder on myself, no one else has to be.
But what would you say about Jay Bruce? Listen. Juice. Bruce. Loose. I'm just saying, John, I'm just saying.
Susan, call security. I'll use it to get this guy out of here.
Dating, Joe, and you know this, you're single, and you do well for yourself as supply and demand.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Tomorrow, by the way, the return of Meat on the Bone. Peter Schwartz beat reporter Mraz will give us the update on Peter Schwartz's life, which is always a very important topic to cover here on the DA Show. Stunned to a news today was a ketchup packet shortage because so many people are eating out and because restaurants are not using communal squirt bottles anymore or ketchup bottles. They've had to kind of go through all of the resources of the ketchup packets over the last year. And so now there's a problem. There's no more Heinz ketchup packets. People are scrambling. Restaurants are scrambling for generic. Daryl tweets, I ordered popcorn chicken the other day. They gave me squeeze packets of ranch and barbecue instead of the dip packets. This is a real thing that's happening now. Now, Fatty Crackers tweets that it's a house divided where he differs from his wife. He said, my wife is a ketchup snob and only eats Heinz. As a Patrick Mahomes fan, I use Hunt's first now. My wife also will judge and snark on a non-Heinz ketchup place, which is pretty amazing. Now, Brian tweets, this all makes sense. I got a to-go order yesterday, got a handful of ketchup packets from my tots. It was some knockoff brand, and they were only filled maybe halfway at most. Hashtag, where does the ketchup go? So this is happening now, and people are worried. Jay tweets, after hearing this story, Peter Schwartz started digging in his glove box for two-year-old Wendy's ketchup he can sell at markup on eBay.
Ho, ho, ho.
Kevin tweets, try Berman's ketchup. It's an Aldi's brand ketchup, exactly like Heinz, even same shaped bottle. And Boomer says, I'm with Bogues. I'm going immediately after work and buying 10 bottles of Heinz. Mraz, are you concerned right now that there's going to be a ketchup shortage?
I have to get eggs, so there's no doubt I'm getting at least two big bottles of Heinz probably right after the show today. Absolutely.
DJ Tommy D tweets, I'm applying for the ketchup guy position at Bob's Bar. I promise to give everyone a fair squirt and keep Mama Mraz away from the clams oregano. LOL, bonus duty for the safety of others. So the two most important things at Bob's Bar, making sure everyone gets a fair squirt and keeping Mama Mraz away from the clams oregano, which got her into trouble at that wedding a couple of years ago where she had a blame.
Well, I got Sean in trouble.
That will do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines and Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Tomorrow morning, Pete Prisco is going to join us on the show. We'll talk NFL draft with him. Also coming up on tomorrow's show, we've got Meat on the Bone and The Miz drops by. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.